السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، یا رب صلی وسلم دائما ابدا علی حبیبک خیر الخلق کلہم، جزا اللہ عنا نبینا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ما هو اہلہ. جی، سو آئی واز ایکسپلیننگ ٹو یو دیٹ the qurbani that they made was of a different level. Allah Ta'ala knew their mettle, so He made them the sahaba of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for us, Allah Ta'ala made us come in an era when all these different comforts are available. However, for a person to then still say that no, I can't practice on this aspect of deen and that aspect of deen, sahaba were of a different level, they were in a different caliber altogether. So definitely they were in a different caliber. But then, can we compare their life and our life? The qurbani they have to make and the qurbani we have to make, can we compare? Now, if a person in our era, if he says, no, I just can't wake up for I can't read any tahajjud, I can't make any tilawat, my iman is very weak. So sahaba radiallahu anhum, on a hungry stomach, without having eaten for days, they had to still make tilawat of Quran Sharif, they had to still walk and go to the masjid for salah and come and all that. Now we are being told to do the same thing, but our stomachs are full. We coming, we are well clothed. If it's a cold day, we got clothing to cover ourselves. If it's a rainy weather, we got some umbrella or dry mac. If it's a hot weather, we got the appropriate technology to cool us down. But the ibadat, the amal, that still has to be done. We cannot say that no, our sahaba were of a different level, so we can't do. We still have to do the ibadat. But Allah Pak has made it easy for us. So Allah Pak has taken into consideration our weakness already. How loving Allah Ta'ala is. How loving. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that now sahaba radiallahu anhum, because you all have to read in the sun, so y'all's namaz is 5. And you people now living in 2012, you all got air conditioner, so you all must make 20 namaz. Allah Pak didn't say that. He still left it at 5. Considered our weakness. Allah Ta'ala considered our weakness. The other thing that we mentioned in the Jummah Bayan, it's the first time, normally I mentioned that incident quite a few times because it makes my iman taza every time I mention that incident. But today a different sabak came in that incident, so I thought I will share it with you. Some of our local Maritzburg people may have not been here for Jummah, and then Durban people also were not here for Jummah. So let me share that also with you. The story of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son passing away from Maria Qibtiya, the son that he had. So that son passed away. So it's a famous incident. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam teared on that occasion also. And Hazrat Maria Qibtiya, so she was naturally grieved, she was sad at the loss of her son. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to console her, he told her that your son is being taken care of by two angels. Allah Pak has appointed two malaika to take care of your son. They even have a swing. They will even rock him on the swing. And what type of a swing Allah Ta'ala must have had there. And if you wish, then I will ask Allah Ta'ala to remove all the veils, and you will actually be able to see the angels playing with your son. So she told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you are saying that, then there is no need for me to see. The yaqeen on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was something in the akhirat. Something in the akhirat. Today you go home and tell your wife, I got for you one diamond ring. That is something of the dunya. That too she won't believe. So let me see. Where is it? Let me see it. And if you really got it and you tell her it's 1 carat diamond or something, she'll ask for the certificate also. Where's the certificate? Because today there's a lot of underhand things and everything happening. So we say we have to see it. But look at the yaqeen that she had on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my eyes may make a mistake. My eyes can make a mistake. But the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam can never ever be wrong. That can never be wrong. So that incident we hear many times, I myself have mentioned it many times, but today something else came in my mind. What came in my mind was that generally if there is a loss, a joint loss, a loss that is suffered by both the husband and the wife, so the husband expects that the wife must sympathize with me. And the wife will expect that the husband must sympathize with me. In fact, if that sympathizing and all that doesn't take place, then maybe 15 years later they'll be sitting by a psychologist because they have been affected very, very deeply. Psychologically affected, and they need to go for some trauma counseling and all that, because now they can't get on with life. Something happens in somebody's childhood, so they say now they have to go for trauma counseling and to go see a psychologist to come right, because they can't get over this thing. I wonder how Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu got over his childhood. He never needed no trauma counseling or anything. Allah Pak protect us, Allah Pak save us. But the point here was that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was as much his son as it was Hazrat Maria Qibtiya's son. But he didn't now wait for her to come and console him. When he saw that she is sad, so he went to go and console her. And in what a beautiful way he consoled her. So this is also sunnah. This is also sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we study the sunnah, we must study everything. Everything we must study and everything we must try and bring into our lives. Not only a selected few sunnats. You only regard those things as sunnat and khalas. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at this. What a point of akhlaq. Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been sent to complete noble character. What a point of akhlaq this is. He put his heart one side, didn't worry about himself, but he went now to go and console her and give her words of comfort, although he was also the grieved party, he was also the grieving party. So this is something that we must keep in our minds. And you find many people in the dunya have this quality. A lot of people have this quality. But although they have lost, although they are going through some grief, but they are still so worried and so cared about everybody else. So this is something that we must adopt, something that we must bring into our lives. So last week we were discussing the mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the splitting of the moon. So today we discuss another miracle, another mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is of the returning of the sun. Returning of the sun after it had set. So this happened, this narration, it is narrated by Hazrat Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha. She narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at a place called Sahba. This place Sahba is near Khaybar. So it was during the battle of Khaybar. It was during that time. And what had happened was, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was sitting. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. He needed to take a moment's rest. So he placed his Mubarak head in the lap of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. To take a little rest, he placed his Mubarak head in the lap of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So in that, now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he may have been thinking that now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will lie down for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's a war situation. And then he will wake up now to continue doing whatever needs to be done. Because he wasn't going to sleep. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not going to sleep. He was just taking a little break. So he put his Mubarak head in the lap of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. In that, wahi started coming down. And this wahi continued right up to sunset. It was between Asr and Maghrib when the wahi started. And the wahi continued right up to Maghrib, sunset. At sunset, when the wahi stopped, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up from the lap of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, so he asked him, "O Ali, did you read your Asr Salah?" So it was a war situation now, as they were getting chance to read namaz, they were reading namaz, etc. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already performed his Asr Salah. And now he came, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was sitting there. So he thought he will just sit for a while, put his Mubarak head in the lap of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And now the wahi started coming. And this continued right up to sunset, right up to Maghrib. So now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that did you read your Asr Salah? Ali radiallahu anhu says, no, I didn't read Asr Salah and I couldn't move. The wahi was coming down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head Mubarak was in my lap. I couldn't move. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua. Listen to the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "O Allah, Ali was in the obedience of your messenger. Ali was in the obedience of your messenger. Please return the sun so that he may fulfill his Asr Salah on its time." Hazrat Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala said that the sun returned after setting. The sun came back. And its rays fell on the land and on the mountains. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala could read his Asr Salah in Asr time. His namaz did not become qada. Now if some peer sahab, bogus, he's sending his murid on some errands and his namaz time, and if the murid say that now it's Hazrat is namaz time, so the peer sahab say no, must take lesson from Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. He just remained there, didn't make no objections, he didn't say anything. So then must tell that peer sahab, said, no problem. Only you make sure your dua is powerful enough to bring the sun back. Sometimes these bogus fellows, they'll use all these things. You know, lot of these things they do. I used to wonder why this, why that. After that, when I heard the reasons and how they prove it from hadith and from seerah and everything, they prove all these things that they are doing in some lopsided, upside down way. So now you have to clarify all these things. You must make it clear. That was Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was the revelation of Quran Sharif. There was a different situation altogether. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a thing like that to happen to bring out this mu'jiza, to bring out this miracle. Otherwise, how was this miracle going to take place? So we cannot use that now and start, person is in the khidmat of his Mawlana or somebody and he's missing namazes and he said, no. I'm taking example from Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Don't work that way. So this Imam Tahawi rahmatullah alayhi says that this is an authentic hadith. And all the narrators of this hadith also are all siqah, they are all reliable. Then there is another miracle mentioned with regards to the stopping of the sun. One was this was the returning of the sun. The sun has set. And through the dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sun came back. The sun came back. Now this next mu'jiza is the stopping of the sun. That the sun mustn't move anymore. When this took place, you see, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for Mi'raj, the next day when he mentioned to the people with regards to Mi'raj, so it was like a big joke amongst the Quraysh. They started making it like a big joke. In fact, they even went and they sought Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. They thought that this is one time now, you know, we will influence Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to leave the side of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how do you influence the Imam of love? If there ever was an Imam of Muhabbat, it was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. He showed the world how to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The manner in which he loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that, no person can claim to have fulfilled the haq of showing muhabbat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the Imam of muhabbat. How he showed muhabbat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there was no cloth, his clothing was ready. If there was no conveyance, his back was ready. That was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. I mentioned to you all the other day on Thursday, I think last week Thursday, that Mawlana Mazhar Sahib Namat Barakatu was mentioning in that one majlis that once Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came there to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam also came same time. And he's asking Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is this person? Who is pointing at Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? So who is this person? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you know? This is Abu Bakr. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam says, but he was a wealthy person from the Quraysh. He was a wealthy person in Makkah Sharif. Now he doesn't even have a decent set of clothes. The place where he's supposed to be buttons, he got thorns just to hold the clothing together. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he has spent all his wealth, everything on Allah's deen and Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So said Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, he told Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I didn't come on my own. Allah Ta'ala has sent me. And Allah Ta'ala is conveying His salam for Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and hears this, that Allah Ta'ala is sending salam for me, immediately he bursts out crying, shedding tears, that Allah Ta'ala is sending salam for me. Then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has got a question for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Oh Abu Bakr, are you still happy with Allah Ta'ala even in this condition? After losing everything, are you still happy with Allah Ta'ala even in this condition? Immediately Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, I am pleased with my Allah. I am pleased with my Allah. He goes on repeating it. I am pleased with my Allah. So khair. So on this occasion when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the Mi'raj, so the people at that time, they thought that this is one time now, even Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is going to say that this is too far-fetched. But when they went to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they told him, they said that you heard now what your friend is saying. So what is he saying? So he's saying in a portion of the night, he went from here, he went to Baytul Maqdis, from there he went to the seven heavens and he came back. Now for us, we are living in a time of satellite and spaceship and jet and this and that. So maybe we can understand it a little bit. This was an era where for them to get on the back of the camel, they needed to put one step. To get onto the back of the camel, they had to make the camel sit down, then they needed one step there to jump onto the camel. Now for them to understand something like this. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really say that? They say, yes, he did say that. He said, then it's true. Then it's true. If he said it is true. That was the time when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was given the title of Siddiq. Given the title of Siddiq. So on this occasion, the Quraysh, they started questioning Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Baytul Maqdis. They're asking him now, how many windows there, how many arches there. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just went, read the two rakat salah there, Imamul Anbiya, and thereafter he was taken away to the heavens. Now where was he going to sit there now and count? Now we went there couple of days, but if you have to ask me also, I won't be able to tell you now how many arches there and how many windows there and all that. So as they were asking these questions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a vision of Baytul Maqdis come in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As they are asking the questions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking at Aqsa and is giving them the job. He's looking at Aqsa and is giving the job. So then too, they didn't want to believe. They asked so many questions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving all the answers. Then too, they don't want to believe. So eventually, they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a certain caravan that had gone to Syria for some trade. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them about this caravan, how many people, who's there, whatever. And then he also told them about the water, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had partook of their water also. So he told them about that also. So then they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when will this caravan reach Makkah Sharif? When will it reach Makkah Sharif? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calculated now more or less where he saw them and more or less how long it will take for them to reach Makkah Sharif. So he told them, see, on Wednesday they'll reach Makkah Sharif. By Wednesday they should reach Makkah Sharif. So now these Quraysh are waiting. They are waiting for Wednesday to see if the caravan comes. Now the whole of Wednesday went and it is coming towards sunset time now. Now they are overjoyed, because if it's sunset, then it's gone on to the next day. So even if they come now 5 minutes after sunset, for them now it's a feather in their cap. But you said they're coming on Wednesday, but they didn't come on Wednesday. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala held the sun in position. The sun didn't move till that caravan reached Makkah Sharif. Then the sun moved to go and set. So this was another miracle, another mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we come to the first hijrat. The first hijrat from Makkah Sharif. What had actually happened was, Islam continued to spread. Islam continued to spread. You cannot contain it. You cannot contain it. Islam is on the rise. Islam is on the rise. It was on the rise from the time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given nubuwwat. The numbers never diminished. It never decreased. It only continued increasing. Yes, certain communities didn't make qadr, so it was taken away from them. It was given to other communities. But never did Islam's numbers decrease. Never did the activities of Islam cease to exist. Islam has always been on the rise. It is the propaganda machine of the West that makes us think that we are a downtrodden people and we are finished up and we got nothing. Yes, we have to work on our iman, we have to work on our akhlaq, we have to work on our courage. We have become a kari khichdi nation. Nothing wrong with kari khichdi, you can eat it, but we have become such that we got no courage in us. We can't stand up for anything. We suffer with an inferiority complex as a Muslim. Whereas Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were not apologetic about their deen. They stood for what was haq, they stood for what was right. So Islam has always been on the rise. So the Quraysh also, they thought they are going to stifle. Yesterday, one of my ustads, one Abdul Rashid Goga, he came here. So he was telling me that he went to enroll two of his sons in Madrasa Zakaria, Darul Uloom Zakaria. He went to enroll his two sons there. So we're talking a little bit about the Darul Uloom. So he's telling me that, you know, the Darul Uloom, the Adadia, that is a pre, before you go to the Alim course now, you do 1 year, it's called Adadia. So in that year you learn some Urdu, you learn some little basic Arabic, some basic Tajweed, etc. So it like prepares you for the Alim course. Now when you get into the first year of Alim course, you already know some Urdu, you already know some Arabic. So once you get your kitabs in front of you, now you're not totally lost. So he went to put his sons, because his sons, alhamdulillah, they have already completed few years Alim course and all that, but they needed to learn the Urdu language, because yeah, they didn't learn Urdu language. So they went to do the Adadia there for 1 year to learn the Urdu language properly. So he's telling me, you know, that Adadia, they have got 67 students in the Adadia. So they have got, they told me, three classes, and they're actually thinking of whether to introduce a fourth class just for Adadia. So I'm telling him that, Maulana, when I went to Madrasa Zakaria, Faisal also was there, came a little after that. So I'm telling him, when we went to Madrasa Zakaria, so they were just starting the Adim course. They were starting it. And the one class had two students. One class had two students. They started off like that. One class had two students. And then they brought one Ustad, Maulana Muhammad Dudat Sahib, and he was teaching the kitabs. And they continued like that, another one Ustad. The classes were small, few numbers. And now look at it, that the pre-Alim course was 67 students. Darul Uloom itself, it was just a few houses first. After that they made one boarding block. Now that boarding, which was the main boarding, the last time I went, which was the main boarding, that was the whole Darul Uloom, that's now only the admin block. Only the admin block, that is. The Darul Uloom is gone so big. First, when the Darul Uloom started, so what was the Darul Uloom that time? Now today that whole thing is one or two Ustad's houses. And after that what they built, the boarding, which was the boarding and the Hibs class, and one section was so big we used to call it Safa Marwa. All the Hibs classes, Hibs classes were there in Safa Marwa, we used to say Safa Marwa. All the Hibs classes are there. So that place there is now just the admin block. Now the madrasa has gone so much bigger. So Islam is on the rise. Islam is on the rise. Whether the Muslim wants to jump on or not, that is his decision. Whether the Muslim wants to jump on or not is his decision. But Islam is on the rise. If the Muslim also wants to be on the rise, he must jump on the wagon of Islam. So khair, so that time also the Quraysh were trying to stifle the progress of Islam, but Islam was spreading, more and more people were accepting. So the efforts of the Kuffar were in vain. In their anger they began persecuting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom more than before. News was received that the Bani Makhzuma tribe, they wanted to kill Walid bin Walid, Salama bin Hisham, and Ayash bin Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala. They wanted to kill them because they accepted Islam. So Abu Talib, he now had no jurisdiction over them. He couldn't take these three now under his wing. He couldn't do that. So life became very difficult for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ijazat. Told them, see, whoever wishes to migrate, can't take it anymore, all this persecution, this torture and all that. You wish to migrate, you make bismillah, you migrate, but you go away to Abyssinia. Go to Abyssinia because the king of Abyssinia, he is not a zanim. He may not be a Muslim. He was not a Muslim at the time. But he is not a zanim, he is not an oppressor. You know, this is something for us Indian Muslims to open our ears properly and listen. We generalize that these African people are like this, these African people are like that. And we oppress the very same people whom Allah Ta'ala used to give protection to Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The same African person that we oppress, the same African person who we say they like this and they like that, and we generalize, that is the same race that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to give his Sahaba radiallahu anhum protection. When nobody wanted to open their doors for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when there was persecution, when there was torture, when there was oppression, this race opened their doors for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not only opened their doors for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but also gave them protection and kept them with izzat. So we must watch our tongues. We must never ever make generalized statements. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this ijazat, then 12 men and 4 women. Right, now you will get different, certain kitab will give some other number, but this is the most famous number that is given. The 12 men and 4 women migrated to Abyssinia. Now this migration took place in Rajab, 5 years after Nubuwat. 5 years after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted Nubuwat, this hijrat took place. Now they have got here, Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Patel sahab, he has written down the names of these first Sahaba radiallahu anhum who made hijrat for the sake of deen. The first Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for the sake of deen, now they are leaving their hometown and they are going away somewhere else so that they can practice their deen. You know, sometimes we think Sahaba's names are just names. My Ustad, Maulana Mansoor al-Haq sahab, he used to make us repeat the Sahaba's names. And he used to say, there's noor in these names. So these names have got a noor. You must take these names. These are the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Today we want to name our children also. You want to look for some fancy names. We got, you see, life has become about the impression that we make. We worried about our, you know, how we impressing the next person. Unfortunately, we have come so low, that our wives also are just a fashion accessory to boost our ego. Our children also, they fashion accessories. That just like how I must have a designer label that nobody else got. So my child also must have a name that nobody else kept. Some funny name, whether it's bordering on whether it's a Muslim name or not a Muslim name or what, that's not the issue. What's the meaning of the name also is not the issue. Long as it sounds very fancy, you got a very fancy name, nobody else got that name, and I must keep my child's name that. The wife also, she's just a fashion accessory to boost the ego of the husband. This is how low we are going down. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Pak save us. So when we keep names for our children also, we must keep Sahaba's names. Keep the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Keep their names. Then inshallah, those qualities of Sahaba radiallahu anhum will come in our children. Keep the names of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Then the quality of these Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, their piety, etc., that too will come in our children. A name has an effect. The name has an effect. So these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their names, the ones who've made the first hijrat from Makkah Sharif, they are going away to Abyssinia. Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala and his wife, who is his wife? The daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya bint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today the parents says, but how can I send my child? I'm feeling very hard to send my child. How can I send my child? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sent his child. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sent his child. So Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abu Huzaifa bin Utbah, his wife Sahla bint Suhail radiallahu anhuma, Hazrat Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Now, with regards to Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala, there is ikhtilaf. Some say he was part of this group, some say no, he wasn't part of this group. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Salama bin Abdul Asad Makhzumi radiallahu ta'ala, and his wife Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, who later on became one of the mothers of the Ummah. Later on, she got married to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Hazrat Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Amir bin Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala. Who was Hazrat Amir bin Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala? Hazrat Amir bin Rabi'a, he is a Badri Sahabi. He took part in the Battle of Badr. And on the occasion of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala's Hajj, he was appointed as the governor of Medina Sharif. Then his wife also, Hazrat Layla binte Abi Hashma radiallahu ta'ala anha. So these are the names of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who made Hijrat. Now when they made this Hijrat, so when they came to the coast, now they needed to take a ship to get to Abyssinia. So when they came to the coastline, so they found two ships there, two ships at the coastline. So they asked them, let's see, we need to get to Abyssinia. So they charged them five dirhams to take them. So that everything was concluded and they got onto these ships and they had departed. In the meanwhile, the Quraysh now got wind of this, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are going away to Abyssinia. Now they can't rest. They want to bring the Sahaba radiallahu anhum back. So they rush to the coastline. But by the time they reached there, these ships had already departed. So they couldn't bring those Sahaba radiallahu anhum back to Makkah Sharif. These Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they went away to Abyssinia. When they came to Abyssinia, they lived in ease. No worry, no persecution, no torture, nothing. They lived in ease, in comfort. After a while, they received a rumor. There was a rumor going around that the Quraysh of Makkah, they have accepted Islam. So now there is no need for you to remain here in Abyssinia, you can go back. So that rumor, how it spread, that is another topic on its own. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making tilawat by the Haram, by the Kaaba Sharif. He was making tilawat, he was reciting certain ayat. And then he came to an ayat of sajda tilawat ayat, he came there. And when he reached there, now the Quraysh were all listening, all the chiefs, all they are listening, and they are spellbound by the tilawat of Quran Sharif. I was listening to one majlis, Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib's majlis, my sheikh. So he was mentioning there that there was some jalsa, you know, some huge meeting or something, but people from all different religious denominations were present there. So the organizer of the program, he was a Muslim person, so he arranged for some qari to read some qiraat there. So when this qari began reciting, so everyone, whichever denomination they were from, they were listening very, very attentively, and they were really touched by the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Only the Quran Sharif has this magic in it. Quran Sharif has this in it. So when this qari completed, so another person from some other religious denomination, so he came to the organizer and he said that, look, you allowed for one of your people to recite from your holy book. So if you don't mind, we will get one of our people also to recite from our holy book. So now this person was in a bit of a fix. He couldn't tell them no. So he said, all right, no problem. Get your man and put him there. followed this fellow when he started reading from these scriptures. We know what that thing sounds like. You don't laugh at them to their face, because that is their religion. If we laugh at them to their face or tell them like something bad about their religion, then that also is not Islamic, and then they will begin to swear at our religion. But really speaking, it is not something that you will want to hear. It's actually frightening. You hear sometimes these people when they have some function or something, they sit in the back of the truck and they drive through the banana leaves, and they are reading away something, and it just doesn't sound pleasant at all. But Quran Sharif, somebody reads Quran Sharif, this brings a contentment, a peace to the heart. So I don't know where we were, but I was telling you all. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was making tilawat. And I was mentioning, I don't know whether it was in today's Jummah, that we listen to the Qurra. Qurra of our Zamana, and how touched we get. Person goes for Hajj and Allah Pak has blessed our Imam Sheikh Sudais. Let him be performing Fajr Salah or Maghrib or something in the Haram. Allah Pak has given him that ability to read the Quran Sharif. You just listen to him and you don't want the namaz to end. You want the namaz to just continue, it mustn't stop. So Allah Pak has given people like that. So when you hear the Qurra of our Zamana, how it sounds, and then you listen to a person like Sheikh Basid and the greats of yesteryear, how wonderful they used to recite Quran Sharif. But now imagine when Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum recited Quran Sharif, what it must have been like. What that must have been. And then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting Quran Sharif, what that must have been. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting, the one upon whom the Quran Sharif is revealed. If Allah ta'ala made him the most handsome of people, the greatest after Allah, then what a voice Allah ta'ala must have given him also. How he must have been reading the Quran Sharif. And his iman was the strongest. His muhabbat for Allah ta'ala was the most. His khashiyat was the most. So with what feeling he must have been reading. So these Quraysh, when they are listening to the tilawat, so they too, they were spellbound. And they are just listening to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting these verses. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to that instruction of sajda, so involuntarily they all went into sajda. They couldn't hold themselves back, they too went into sajda. So from there that rumor spread, because sajda is only in our deen. Sajda is in our deen. So from there that rumor spread that, no, these people have all become Muslim now. See Abu Talib. One day he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, his son now, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, they are reading Salah in the outskirts of Makkah Sharif. So he is watching them and he doesn't know what this is. They're standing, they're bowing down, they're prostrating. He's watching them. So after they finished, so he asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, what is this? He said, no, this is our salah, worshipping Allah ta'ala. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Abu Talib some da'wat. So after that, Abu Talib, he told his son, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, look, you just stay with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you do whatever he tells you to do. You carry on, you in safe hands, you carry on. But as for me, I won't put my back higher than my head. So I don't put my back higher than my head. So sajda was not something in their deen, so called. They never had sajda. So this is why when they made the sajda, so now the rumor spread that, no, these people have become Muslim. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they returned now. When they got this news, so they said, well, if they have become Muslim, then we rather go back home. But when they came back, then they realized that this was a rumor. So some of them returned. They went back same time. Others stayed. But this persecution and this torture continued. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam again told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that, see, those of you that wish to go, you may go. So then Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's cousin, he got ready. Then a whole group joined him. 83 some odd men, 18 some odd women, somewhere around there the figures. And this was the second hijrat now from Makkah Sharif to Abyssinia. So a big group of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum now made hijrat, and they went away to Abyssinia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand, to appreciate the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must create muhabbat in our heart for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and it must drive us. It must drive us to becoming better mu'mineen, becoming better Muslims. That we too, we cannot strive like how Sahaba radiallahu anhum strove. We can't do a percent of what they did. But at least we get a little bit of himmat, little bit of himmat. Allah Ta'ala give us some opportunity, a little bit of tawfiq. We must make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, you give us tawfiq. You give us tawfiq. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله, forgive our sins, O Allah. Forgive each and every sin that we have committed, O Allah. يا الله, you forgive us. Forgive our parents, our asatiza, our mashayikh, our spouses, O Allah, our children, our family members, our friends, the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Bless us with hidayat, O Allah. Ya Allah, keep us upon sirat-i-mustaqim. Bless us with your muhabbat, O Allah. Bless us with the muhabbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bless us with the azmat of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Ya Allah, make us yours and you become ours, O Allah. Ya Allah, sister, help the ummah, O Allah. Assist and help the ummah around the globe, O Allah. Ya Allah, we are a lost ummah, O Allah. Ya Allah, we don't know how to go forward, O Allah. We don't know how to go forward, O Allah. Ya Allah, you assist and help us. You guide us, O Allah. You be there for us, O Allah. Assist and help our brothers around the globe, O Allah. In Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Somalia, in Sudan, in Kashmir, in Bosnia, in all other places, O Allah. Our iman has become so weak, O Allah, so weak, O Allah, that we cannot even go to the aid and the assistance of our Muslim brothers and sisters. Day in and day out, O Allah, our brothers are being martyred. Day in and day out, O Allah, the izzat of our mothers and sisters are being taken. Day in and day out, O Allah, masoom children are being butchered, O Allah. Ya Allah, but we can do absolutely nothing. We have become so kamzor, O Allah, so kamzor, O Allah, so weak, O Allah, that we can't do anything, O Allah.
اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. آمين برحمتك يا